Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, we went into the game wanting to make them drive, get them off the three-point line. We didn't do that. So when you let Guy and Jerome shoot those shots, they're going to make them. And we just did a very poor job of getting them off the line, and they took advantage of it. Jerome hurt us in the high post. He's the guy that hurt us in the high post. We actually did a good job in Hunter in the high post. He did not hurt us in the high post, which he has the last 2 years, the last two games last year. We actually did a good job on him in the high post. We let him get outside, and our forwards weren't active. We got screened a few times, and, you know, we just didn't play any defense. Really, our three-point defense was bad the whole game. Tyus got his opportunities. He got to the spot where he can make shots, and, he just couldn't get it in. When he doesn't score for us, that's an issue. That's an issue. I think that, O'Shea's had trouble scoring, shooting. He can't make shots. You know, so you don't have to play him out there, play him for the drive. And, he has struggled shooting the ball from day one, really, this year. Play the one, two, five teams in the country in 10 days. We're not as good as they are. You know, that's the bottom line. We played pretty well against Duke, really well at North Carolina. We had a good first half. We're not better than these teams.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, as always, please subscribe. And the universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a platform. Well, the Orange could not handle the onslaught of a 54-point scoring differential from three against UVA. They hit 18 three-point shots. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you in the fan feedback. And Syracuse closes out the regular season against Clemson, South Carolina, Saturday, March 9th at noon. We'll give you our thoughts. Well, it wasn't actually a 54-point differential from three, but 54 points scored from three. Anyway. They couldn't overcome it. It doesn't really matter. But first, before we get into all the fun that we're used to, we're going to hear from Tix Blitz. Now, if you don't know already, Tix Blitz is the official ticket provider for the Armchair Media Network. And unlike other ticketing providers that sneak in all the extra fees and unexplained service charges, at Tix Blitz, the price you see is the price you pay. Unnecessary fees should not prevent you from seeing the sporting event or concert of your choosing. So go to TixBlitz.com and enter the promo code Armchair at checkout to receive 5% off your total ticket purchase. That's TixBlitz.com, promo code Armchair. Tix Blitz, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions. Well, real quick, I always ask for your thoughts on the game after every game. Go there, Facebook and Twitter at Q's Militia, give us your thoughts. But I did ask for your thoughts on another game. I would like you, if you haven't, to go there and do that. We're putting something together. The 10th anniversary of the 6-overtime game against UConn is coming up a week from today, which is Tuesday. So next Tuesday, the 12th, I believe, is the 10-year anniversary of that. So go to the socials if you haven't already seen that. And if you remember where you were or what you were doing, because I remember exactly what I was doing, and I'll tell my story. It's short and sweet. But I remember it's like those games like that you remember, like the national championship game and, you know, a bunch of others. But go there if you haven't already and leave your – do you have a story, Joe? Do you remember your story?
It's not really a good one. I had to work the next day, and I was sitting on my couch kind of just hoping it would end.
Well, don't tell it. Save it.
It's pretty pathetic, so.
It's a pretty pathetic one? Man,
Go figure. Go figure, folks. Go figure.
It's not great. I wasn't doing anything special.
I know. Well, I guess we weren't expecting a special night, but it ended up being. But there are some really good stories, and we're going to get into that. But anyway, the Orange fell to 19-11, 10-7 in ACC after a clinic from behind the arc by UVA. When you're feeling it, you're feeling it, and UVA was feeling it. There's times when you think a team can't stay hot like that the whole game, unless they're playing Syracuse. At least that's the way I feel. I remember Justin Robinson went 9-13 earlier this year. He set a couple personal records, I believe. I think he set a school record, too. I can't remember. But I know he set a personal record. And it was Kyle Guy this time hitting 8 of 18 from distance. And just to rub salt in the wound, Virginia set a record for the most three-pointers ever hit in the Carrier Dome.
No, he went 8 of 10.
8 of 10. I'm sorry. Yes, 8 of 10. They set a record for the most three-pointers ever hit in the Carrier Dome with 18. That's what I was looking at. And also, for a three-point shooting percentage by a visitor at 72%, Syracuse led at the half, as they have done the past few games in these types of situations, 34-32, despite Virginia going 8-for-12 from three in the first half. And maybe you thought to yourself, this shooting won't last, because that's what I was thinking. I know that's what Joe was thinking. But yeah, it did. And maybe you thought that, you know, we were shooting good enough to keep up with them, but just the opposite would happen.
Yeah, better.
The Orange would go 7-for-26, only scoring 19 points in the second half to UVA's 47, and the Cavs would go 10-for-13 from behind the arc. UVA started off the half early with an 11-0 run. That turned into a 27-3 run. If you combine Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia, where Syracuse has led at halftime, Syracuse has actually been outscored 143-89 just in the second half. So, brutal. The battle, Hughes and Boeheim, they all finished with 11 points each. We were all hoping for a big night for our seniors, Howard and Chukwu. Pascal did what I think he needed to do to make a difference. Maybe my expectations are low. I don't know. But 8 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. And I just wish it were different, especially on senior night for Frank Howard. And on the other hand, he was kind of flat. He only hit 2 buckets, both from 3. He didn't make much else. Just a non-factor. Brissett, also a non-factor. As well, maybe he was lucky enough to even be playing in the game after swinging an elbow. That case could be made. 6 points, 8 rebounds. He is 21 of 65, 32.3% over the last 6 games. He is 2-for-16 from 3 in those 6 games, and he is 0-for-10 in the last 4 games from behind the arc. I mean, it's March. It's time to get it together. Albeit was a number 2 team in the nation, and Virginia's hitting the stride right at the right time. But Syracuse looked vulnerable, and you know, I believe, in my opinion, especially as far as confidence goes and morale, they definitely took a step back, Joe.
Yeah, you'd like to think that, but honestly, the way that they played all year, they bounced back. They haven't thought about it. Number 2 team, like you said, they've got a great defense, and they just poured it on. Not too many teams can beat us the way that they did, the way they used Ty Jerome. I mean, the guy shot very high percentage. He had 14 assists. And, they had 3 guys.
Yeah, 14 assists. That killed us, too.
Yeah. I mean, so you had 3 guys, most likely. Well, I don't know if Kyle Guy, I don't know about his size, but if he can shoot, then, I mean, I know the other two are going to the NBA. I mean, you got NBA guys out there, and they just made shots at a rate that we haven't, that you don't see too often, and obviously because you said like we haven't seen in the dome. So it's, to me, it's just one of those things where you got to kind of just like the other ones, just take the good from it and just try to learn. You know, I just don't think that there's too many teams that have the roster and the capability to do some of the things that they did last night to beat us. And
They haven't shot like that all. That was their best shooting night all year. I mean,
that's a ridiculous shooting night. That's what I mean. That's like a one off type thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
another team, anomaly. When a team, right, shoots, Joe?
Right. When a team, I mean, Justin Robinson, it was just him.
Right. I know. Right.
You know, yeah. But we just didn't score.
Right.
This time around, I thought I played a really good first half, other than the fact that they just shot really good from 3-point land. So, like what you said, I thought, you know, that it was, you know, they can't keep this up. And we already had the lead. You know, we had, I think, 6 or 7 offensive rebounds, and it just seemed like there's this great effort out there. We were moving the ball around, and we were, you know, scoring points. Just like Boeheim said, it wasn't like we were shooting a good percentage, but we were getting you know, the offensive rebounds and creating turnovers.
Yeah, the turnovers. Eight in the first half.
Eight in the first half. They only averaged nine or like 9.5 a game or something.
A game, and Syracuse ended up with 10. So right. UVA
well,
took
Virginia
really good care
Virginia came
of the-
out. They came out and they took care of the ball and they stepped up their defense and they kind of put it on
step
Syracuse.
Up though, or did maybe you know we've talked about how the poor shooting trickles down into our defense and it's just like you know it starts a slow collapse.
Well, when you're in the second half and a team just isn't missing and they just go off and take a huge lead. Like you said, almost everything about that game now changes.
Right.
You know, the pace, you know, the sense of urgency, the things that you want to try to do, and you want to make it up so fast.
Making the most out of your possessions, trying to not take bad shots, and in panic mode. And
some of that goes out the door.
Exactly. So, and so they weren't taking good shots, and it was sloppy, and you could tell it was rushed, and they were making mistakes. And it's just not in their wheelhouse to have to deal with an onslaught like that. Though they have done pretty good job. They have done a good job. And it just that one just got away, man.
It just got away because of our second half shooting. We ended up shooting, 33% overall? 32% from the three-point land. So, I mean, it's – we just – those percentages with what they pulled off, I mean, that's just there's nothing you're going to be able to do.
Three guys hit threes too, by the way. And if you take away Joe, like you said earlier, if you rework the math, you take away the 1 3 that a walk on shot, they actually shot 75%, not 72. Yeah. 72 officially, but really what they did is they went 18 for 24, 75%. So
It's just one of those things that just a really good team. You don't know if. And there's probably a bunch of things that you can – I mean, these last three games with Duke and North Carolina and Virginia, the way that we've played in the first half and then the way we've came out and played in the second half, I think that there's just a bunch of different things. Each game was a little bit different, but between the refs and between, you know, coaching adjustments and between just – I think, which is most of it, is just the fact that more talented teams stepped up and played – a little bit better than us. So there was a bunch of different things, but I like the way that we played in the first half of some of those games. And if anything, I hope that we can maybe get a chance at one of them, maybe in the ACC tournament or something, and maybe prove that we've gotten a little bit better.
Maybe one of them. if I had to choose one, honestly, I would choose UNC. And only because I don't want to see Virginia again anytime soon. I got to be honest. I don't. There was some talk on Twitter about that. But, you know, Duke, we've already played twice. I don't need that kind of blood. I don't need my blood pressure.
I don't need that in my life.
Yeah, and I'm good. So UNC I would take. But, you know, the whole Brissett thing, Joe, should Brissett have been even playing after that flagrant one was called on him? Your opinion. Just your opinion.
You mean like should he have gotten a
should he have gotten
two
a flagrant two and been ejected from the game?
I don't think so. I think it was the right call. I know that's going to be really controversial because of the way that he made it look. Obviously,
made
but
it look really bad.
He made it look really bad. But I think you kind of just got to judge it by what kind of contact it created and stuff like that. Because as fast as he did do that, and maybe
it was out of aggression, in my opinion, he was frustrated.
It was frustration and aggression, but at the end of the day, you can only judge it by
what the outcome was
exactly. Right. So as much as it looked really bad, but he didn't really catch him square, and it could have been a lot worse if he did catch him square. Then
he could have broke his nose.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that if he would have caught him square, then O'Shea Brissett, he might. I mean, I don't want to say looking maybe at a suspension or something, but that would have done some damage to Jerome. So
yeah,
I think that it was the right call. But again, that just tells you, and like what we talk about with that rule, you know, people getting hit to the face, you know, that it's different refs call that differently.
Right.
So, you know, like I told you, it's one of those things against Duke. I think the Brissett one should have been looked at. And again, that's just something else.
I know.
Cause that wasn't something that the ref caught. It was basically based on Ty Jerome's reaction after the play.
Right. Well, Brissett was on the ground holding his head after that play. So I don't know.
Exactly.
It needs to be black and white. and they need to fix it. Yeah, and I agree. I agree that they should have looked at that with the whole Ty Jerome and Brissett thing against UVA. I think they should have. But what they should have also done is blow the whistle about, I mean, five, six seconds earlier. And I know you said, well, they're judging by his reaction. I know. But, you know, it was just the refs are out there. They're supposed to be watching what's going on. They're supposed to be an eye on someone all the time. So
no, it's not as easy.
I know, but you got that happened.
Three refs.
I understand, but you got that happened. You got Ty Jerome holding his face. Then the game against Duke, Brissett was on the ground holding his head. So I don't know. It needs to be black or white. That's what I can say about that. So all right. Well, I'm good. You want to hear from the fans?
Let's listen to them.
Let's see what they got to say.
It's time to hear from you. The loud mouths from the loud house. The best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right, y'all know where to go. At Cuse Militia on Facebook and Twitter. And I propose a question at the end of every game. And what you need to do is you need to go there. You need to find that post. And you need to give us your thoughts. So, let's see. There was a good amount. I tried to keep it. There's a couple that were... I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. I was going to put him in. I'm like, you know, maybe I better not. I don't know. But anyway, Brandon on Facebook, I believe it says, yes. Brandon on Facebook says, we played another great first half. Then Howard showed up and Battle showed why he has fallen off every draft board. Joe, I am not afraid to say that I don't pay attention to draft boards. I don't care. I pay no attention to the NBA. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't find the NBA entertaining. What do you know about Battle and draft boards?
Not a damn thing. That's I'm kind of the same way with you when it comes to, like, I mean, I watch the NBA draft and I pay attention, like,
right
when it gets really close. Same thing with the NFL draft, but when it comes to mock drafts and stuff, that, I mean, when you're talking about draft boards, when the college season's still going on, I don't pay attention to it. So,
okay, well, let's do this.
He could be right. He could be right. He could be.
I think Brandon pays attention to that stuff. I think he does.
I think so too.
I don't pay attention.
I hope
to
he
that
does
stuff.
making comments like that.
Right. That's what I was asking you if you knew, because I didn't bother to look it up. I actually thought you might know. But all right, well, let's do this. Buy, sell, hold. Tyus Battle is going to the NBA after the season.
Yeah, I think he's going to, because I don't think he has nothing else to prove. I think he's going to graduate after this year. So. I'm buying it, even though I don't know if necessarily this year. I mean, it's still to be determined. I think he's going to have to make a nice little run in the NCAA tournament or something like that to kind of help. I think his percentages has gone up a little bit compared to last year.
He's up to 16th on the all-time scoring leaderboard.
He is, but that kind of stuff really doesn't matter when it comes to getting drafted.
I know, I'm just saying,
so,
he has a lot of big games, and then he has a lot of, like, just... you know, kind of flat, very mundane games. But he has big games,
well,
and it boosts that up there. That sat up there a lot.
Yeah, I don't see his stock being any different than what it was last year.
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of what I think. That's why I was going to hold on that, to be honest with you.
And a lot of it, comes down to just, again, there's a lot more in the season. But I mean, you're going to hold on him going to the NBA? Really?
I'm going to hold because, I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I really don't. Like you said, I don't know if there's a ton of difference from him last year to this year. The inconsistency with him is just, and I know they covered, look, Tony Bennett's game plan last night, especially coming out of the locker room, was you got to hand it to that guy. Like, really, what he did to Battle last night in both halves, really.
Well, I mean, what he did to Battle and his adjustment in the second half on offense, putting Ty Jerome at the free throw line, I think those are two things that, I mean, granted, not every team has the personnel to pull that off, but, you know, you have to make the call when you have it, and he did.
Exactly.
So.
He made a brilliant decision, and he did. And the guy's smart. We all know that. There's no denying it. 5 for 19,
good coach.
Though.
I respect him.
Yeah. 5 for 19, though, Battle. Last night.
Yeah.
It's just inconsistent. And we've talked about Battle being able to make those shots with the contested shots. The shots where his legs are all whacked out all to the side and whatnot.
Right, he makes those
a lot. Last night, that was not happening. Inconsistency. All right.
Yeah, well, last night was the first time where I've seen his shots get blocked like that, too. So,
yeah.
yeah, to give it up to Hunter. Hunter's definitely, he's an NBA player. His stock's higher than Battle's, I'll tell you that. And again, when it comes to the inconsistency, like you said, that's one of the biggest things in the NBA, because you have to do things to be able to, you know, stick out in the NBA. And one of the things is consistency.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bench players you see that just kind of bounce back and forth with bench players and players that don't get any minutes. And, you know, you just, the people that play solid minutes in the NBA, they're consistent.
Right.
So.
And there's just a ton of talent. There's a lot to compete with. Jason says, we can't stop good shooting teams. If we don't score shot for shot, we don't win. And, I mean, it's been a few times this year. There's been a couple times this year where they've actually, teams have actually cooled off. And it's just so, it's just, it's like you never know. And you never know. And we've talked about it all year where we just don't know what Syracuse team we're going to get. Maybe they can go off. But that's what happened in the first half. They were the turnovers that they were creating and the rebounds that they were grabbing, they led the battle of the boards in the first half, and obviously creating 8 turnovers and getting those points. That's how they were able to hold off the onslaught. 8 for 12 from 3 by UVA, and they were able to hold that off. But just they could just not miss. I mean,
and let's be honest, when you look at the talent level and the fact that you're talking about the three teams that played in the top five and have lost our last three losses, the talent, they have better talent than us. Yeah. It's just the matter of fact, and they're more consistent than us. And the way that the basketball landscape has changed with the 3-point shot and everybody, you know, putting it up, you got big guys shooting, you know, putting it up. I mean, centers in the NBA got to be able to shoot threes now. And
that's the game.
You know, they keep going farther and farther back and making them deeper. I mean, it gets to the point to where, like, especially this year, a good example is the players, the way our team is when we play a really good team or it's, you know, top 15 team, something like that. If they have the talent and if a player goes off, then they can beat us themselves.
Right. Exactly.
When you look at Virginia Tech, Justin Robinson, when you look at North Carolina, Kobe White, when we played Duke, RJ Barrett.
Well, look, just
last night,
scoring
with all those three guys.
Scoring. Just, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, and Kyle Guy scored 54 points. We scored as a team 53.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Joe on Facebook says, nothing you can do when a team shoots with flame in their palms. Never seen a team shoot like that. Neither have I. When it went up, I knew it was going in. Even I got used to it. I mean, what do you do?
That's what I was trying to explain. That's why I wasn't even mad. When you have a team like that, like I said, we had good first half, good showing, but then that happens. What do you do? They made 10 of 12 3-pointers in the second half, the starters.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do.
Right. Paul says, giving up 18 long balls is utterly unacceptable. That said, props to Virginia for being able to hit that many shots from deep. And they weren't just deep. Some of those shots were deep. See the difference? Deep. Deep. They were.
And some of them were contested. Kyle Guy had a couple coming off of screens or, you know, catching, shooting. And, they were just... They were out to prove something last night, man.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Apparently. Peter says, no match, very tough to beat Virginia in his own defense, and Syracuse cannot adapt to anything else better. Hope they get win 20 or maybe an NIT team, depending on how much they look at the win over Duke. They have a lot of very bad losses. Sorry, there's no punctuation there, Peter. I'm sorry. There's not. You guys can go back and look at it. So I thought I had it for a second. I was adding my own punctuation, but of course, once an episode, you guys get the bumbling Sean and I butcher something. So you know, you're welcome. So he says he says Syracuse can't adapt, and they haven't been great at adjustments. Haven't been great. I would say they have done it, but they haven't been great. And NIT team, depending on how much they look at the win over Duke, they have a lot of very bad losses. That's not true, Peter. They have one bad loss, okay? And NIT, I'm not even thinking about NIT right now. We're not even going there, are we, Joe? We going?
No.
No.
We're not going there.
No.
And, I mean, based upon the what I've seen around the interweb, mm-hmm. I don't even know if we lose the last two games, I still think we're in, honestly. From everything I see, I can't see us falling back that far, barring just a bunch of teams that shouldn't win their conferences that do.
Yeah.
Their conference tournaments. That's really the only way, and that would – and I still don't think that we're losing every game, so.
Yeah, well.
I'm just over the NIT talk right now. If anybody, anybody actually went and checked some things out, then you pay attention. I mean, if you went to the – check out not even just Joe Lenardi. I mean, like I said before, I've said it to bracketmatrix.com. They have like the top, like 110 different websites, and they average all the websites out. So what seed that you are in every single one. I mean, we're in the tournament in 110 of all every single one of those websites. So, and you look at Ken Pom, he's got us ranked 35th. I don't 100% know where we are in the net right now, but. I mean, everywhere you look, we're still in not even really close to the NIT right now. So I mean, they're not even talking about us in the bubble. So
Syracuse is 42nd in the net right now.
Nice.
At Bilski 44, one of those games, second half, they have to move on and get ready for Clemson. As soon as fan feedback's over, Ted, we are going to all move on and get ready for Clemson because I can't handle it. Because as someone that lives in Virginia, and I have gotten hit from every angle possible from all the big college basketball fan bases that center around Virginia, well, being Virginia, UVA, Virginia Tech, and then the UNCs and the Dukes around here. Those are the four big four around this area.
You know, and you had to worry, and you had to deal with Old Dominion.
Oh, and I had to deal with Old Dominion. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's been a rough, it's been a brutal year for me. So... So UVA winning the way they did last night and getting to celebrate like that in the dome, it really rubbed me the wrong way. To say it nicely.
Yeah, it did.
You know, because you
talked to me. Just to let everybody out there know, I talked to him last night and he is not lying. he is not lying.
It's a good thing we don't do a live show immediately after.
Because, yeah, I would say that, yes.
Right?
Especially considering last night, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, plus I had a bad day. But anyway, at Doug Vaughn fan from Twitter, he says they won't shoot that way ever again in their lives. Well, they haven't yet, so I would agree, Doug Vaughn fan.
Yeah.
Still tough to beat them. If they play again, it'll be closer. I don't know what I just watched. At Drew Acuse responds to him, says, I kind of hope they meet up in ACC tourney, kinda. And I said... I responded to at Drew Cuse. I said, I think I'm good on that. I don't want to. I don't care if it's closer. I don't want to take the chance of it not being closer. I don't want to. No. No, thank you.
No, I'll tell you what. The only way I'd be cool with it is if it was in the ACC championship. How about that?
Fair enough.
How about that?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. I don't know. I'm good, though.
Think about the teams and the wins in our seed. And our strength of schedule and all those numbers and everything that would, if getting to that point, if we did make the ACC, you know, so that's the only reason I say that.
Well,
if we were to go on a run and make the ACC tournament championship, then I wouldn't care who we played.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Or how bad the outcome was.
Well,
so.
Yeah. I mean, if you made that run, it would be something special. But, you know, I'm not saying we can't. All I'm saying is that Syracuse has won one singular ACC game, tournament
yeah.
game.
Oh, I know.
So,
I understand.
So it's a brutal conference.
Look, I'm not saying it's probable.
Oh,
I'm just giving my scenario if I'm okay
you're
with playing
in, yeah, you're
Virginia.
In, you're in your own little thing. That's fine.
Whatever, man.
At Tony Staffieri, this team is going to be hard to trust in the NCAA tournament given the last two defensive performances against top five teams. Well, I will say this, Tony, that I worry less about teams that are not in our conference when we play them in the NCAA tournament. I just don't think I don't think they can acclimate as well to the zone. You saw what Virginia had last night. They struggled. They turned the ball over 8 times. This is the team that's familiar with us. They were able to. They had a game plan. They had a plan B. Okay.
Yeah.
And it worked. There's not going to be a lot of teams that can have a plan B. It's going to be plan A.
No, not that one.
Absolutely not that one. But even plan A, if plan A doesn't work, these teams that are not used to seeing that zone that do not play us, out-of-conference teams in the tournament, it's going to be, I think we hold an edge in that. I just would like to think that, right?
I think that it's kind of proven. I mean, look at the runs that we've been able to pull off and the recent years. And that's just kind of the way that I look at it. The last couple times we made runs in the tournament, I mean, how confident were you? How confident were you in the team last year that got in a play-in game? You know, I was nervous. They're the same type of team. And look what we did. So, again, all you really can do now at this point and what the whole regular season is getting to the tournament and creating a resume to get you the best, you know, the best spot in the tournament. So here we go. We're on the eight or nine line right now. And, all we can really do is hope to win a couple games here or see what happens and see where we end up.
This is the best time of the year. We'll see what happens. It's a brutal loss. It sucks. We got kind of embarrassed. Yeah. It is what it is. What are you going to do?
The small mid-major conferences have already started their tournaments too. So.
Yeah. So, you know.
Best time of the year.
I'm just noticing this, so I got to give a shout-out to at PSJTG5. Okay? He's got a Raider Nation caricature, whatever, profile picture. So, shout out to him. He said lights out, they sucked, but that's fine. I see Joe's got his New York Giants hat on.
Raiders.
So
I figured I'd
shout that out.
Saquon?
At @ShayKen_something, I don't know, I cut it off and I apologize. These are screenshots I get these from.
Good.
Not much you can do with a shooting performance like that, however, they gave up when they got down. Had chances, turned the ball over, and continually got stagnant on offense. Some blame needs to go on the coach. Okay, so I don't think they gave up. I think what happened is they got desperate, and they were sloppy. And giving up to me is effort. They were making their way up and down the court, so I would say the effort was there. But
I don't think it was, giving up.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're giving up, you're lazy down the court, and they weren't doing that. But I get his point, though. It was just sloppy. Some blame needs to go on the coach. Absolutely. I think coach would tell you that some of the blame needs to go on him. They did have no adjustments because they were playing okay ball, and they just had what they had, and they were dealing with it. Basically, that's kind of how the year has gone. Basically, pretty much. Right.
Well, I think they got hit. I think you got hit with one of those things where it kind of didn't matter. On defense. I mean, they had that Ty Jerome at the free throw line, and that was literally kind of like the best option. And it like just seemed like in the second half, everything was working. So it really didn't matter. They didn't really find a solution to what Virginia was doing. And again, sometimes that's just like personnel and the kind of night that they're having, you know, because if they're hucking up all those threes and missing them, then it's a different story. So like you said, it's just, it happens a lot to Syracuse, but I mean, last night they just couldn't miss.
It's the zone. So, it's the zone.
Yeah, it's the zone. You're going to get some shots up, and if you can make them, and that's a chance you kind of take, because sometimes, you know, how many and sometimes that's one thing with Syracuse fans, they don't understand that sometimes you don't put it in perspective. For as many times it's like a guy comes out and hits a career high in threes and they end up winning, how many times if we beaten a team or lulled
the
team to sleep to where they're just shooting, hucking up all these threes,
absolutely,
and
the good
missing
the bad,
them all,
right?
I mean, we did it to Duke at Duke this year.
Exactly. You take the good with the bad in the zone, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. UVA is the second ranked team in the nation. They are a potential Final Four team, and you know, I wouldn't put it past them if I had to put money on it. I think they can get there, but it's, you know, it is what it is. But, you know.
Well, on top of the fact that you have in the second half, I think they ran into a hungry defense that wanted to come out and prove something. And, and like you said, too, you have people that were struggling, and we looked at Ty's battle when we're struggling to make those buckets. And
he was stifled.
Lo and behold, we got a 6'7" small forward that's probably going to, they're talking about possibly being a future lottery pick. Like, and he locked him down. And so we had no answer.
That's it. So that is it for fan feedback. Thank you all so much for going there and participating after a tough loss. You know, I appreciate that. I appreciate y'all listening.
Yes,
I love your interaction, especially after tough losses. I know it's easy after a good win to go on there and express yourselves, and don't ever hold back. Sometimes those are the best. And you know,
to swearing. Hold back to swearing.
Oh, you can swear. It's fine. I'll just beep it. I can self censor that. But anyway, thank you. So you know where to go at Cuse Militia on Facebook and Twitter after every game. All right, Joe. Well, the pregame for Clemson. Clemson will head to Syracuse, or Syracuse will head to Clemson, rather, this Saturday at noon. The game is set for. But before we get into all that stuff, the pregame, or the preview for Clemson, is brought to us by MyBookie. If you've bet online before, you know what to expect. And I would urge you to go to MyBookie. If you have not bet online before, check it out. Make sure it's right for you. But if you decide to, go over to MyBookie. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all of you fantasy guys and gals out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code QS25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code QS25 when you create your account and claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Clemson will host Syracuse Saturday, March 9th at noon, as I previously had said twice already. Syracuse took the first of two meetings between these two on January 9th of earlier this year. A 61-53 win. Hughes led the Orange with 14 points that day. The all-time record is split at 4-4 currently. Since the loss to the Orange, Clemson has gone 7-7 and 5-3 at home. With Clemson still to play Notre Dame Wednesday, March 6th, before facing Syracuse, Clemson is 17-12 overall and 7-9 in ACC. They sit two spots below Syracuse at 8th in the ACC rankings. Their net currently is 39th, so they're ahead of Syracuse there. Heading into the Notre Dame game, Clemson is shooting 46.1% from the field, 33.3% from distance, and 73.3% from the line. Joe, kind of a mixed bag with Clemson. They've got some really good wins. They've got a couple kind of, I wouldn't say bad losses, but maybe surprising losses. And, you know, so it's a mixed bag there, but they seem to have a decent edge at home. They play good at home. They play good at home. So,
yeah. Well, they seem to have, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you look at this team, they're right now, like you said, and I know in KenPom, I think they're ranked 30 or 31 to our 35. They're higher ranked than us in the net. But when you look at the bracket matrix, most bracketology websites have them in as the last four in the tournament right now with a 17-12 record. But when you kind of look at the team, especially like you look at the last six games, you know, yeah.
So
you see,
I'm looking at it right okay, now. Okay, what do you got?
Well, they're 2-4, right? So mm-hmm. they won at BC and or won at home against BC and at Pitt, mm-hmm. right? But you look at it a little bit closer, they lost at Miami by 1 point. They lost at Louisville by 1 point. And they lost at home against North Carolina by 2 points. So three out of those four losses is a combined 4 points. And that's all it really takes for this team to have a crazy, really different outlook and resume going forward. So, again, too, we beat them earlier this season at home. So they're going to be a hungry team. Marquise Reed.
It's their senior night, obviously.
Yeah, it's their senior night, and I know that one of their better players, Marquise Reed, when we played them, it was earlier in the season, and they were talking about him coming back from a knee injury earlier in the non-conference. So I remember him seeing him hobbled and not really 100%, and you know, between Marquise Reed, Elijah Thomas, and Shelton Mitchell, the other guard that starts there, you got some guys that that have kind of been carrying this team to a point to where they're still, you know, they're 17-12 and they're still in the NCAA tournament and still kind of right in the mix. So they're going to be looking to take care of us, man. I think it's going to be a tough game like you were talking about last night. And we just have to hope that this last game, like you said, didn't kind of mess up our psyche.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm really worried about is the confidence and just the psyche of the team. I mean, you know, something we didn't mention. Well, I guess I mentioned it briefly, but Frank Howard, that's his last game in the Dome. That was his last game in the Dome. It's likely maybe Tyus Battle's last game in the Dome. Pascal's last game in the Dome. That's, you know, it's a suffering defeat. Your last game at home like that to end up that way. You know, it's a morale killer. It's a morale killer. But they have a bunch of days off. And, you know, one being a travel day, I suppose. But they got a bunch of days off. They're going to get some good practice in. And as athletes at this level, the D1 college basketball level, you've got to be able to leave it behind and focus on the next task, and that is Clemson. So, and Clemson is a good team. They're a good team.
Well, yeah, you know, and like you said, it's March, so it's time to go.
Right,
and
it's time to go.
The bottom line is that this is Clemson's last time until it's pretty much like we talk about a one and done when it gets to the conference tournaments and the other tournament. So this is their kind of last chance to kind of grab a stamp on a quality win and hope that it kind of pushes them over the edge and doesn't force them to have to win one or two games in this tournament. They obviously, like I said, have been playing a lot better since the first time we played. And again, you talked about senior night, taking a quick little stroll. Four of their top, you know, 6-7 guys that play are seniors. So Marquise Reed, Elijah Thomas, and Shelton Mitchell, the three that I mentioned, and then David Scarra, the other forward they have there. They're all seniors. So you're going to have a big night.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a big game for Clemson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Considering all the little variables between senior night, having a bunch of them, they kind of need the win to kind of keep them on the right side of the bubble or get a little bit more secure on it. And on top of the fact that they're probably going to want to show up and revenge the loss they had earlier this year. So we got a lot going against us in this game. I think the only thing really going to our advantage would be the fact that they play tomorrow at Notre Dame at 9:00. So they're not going to have, you know, they're going to have about two. They're going to have less of a rest.
Yeah, we do have the travel day though too. So
yeah, we have the travel day. So I mean, if who knows how much it's going to affect it having the extra 2 days, 2.5 days, because they're still going to have, you know, obviously Wednesday night until Saturday. But I think it's going to be a real good game, man. It's going to be a real good game. It's going to be tough. I bet you the line's pretty close.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll see. We'll all know what Joe thinks when the line comes out, when he posts it. The game's at noon, so I expect Joe will have that posted definitely by 11:59. I think probably right around then.
11:30 max.
Oh, hey, you know, my bookie thing is my bookie doesn't make us do that. We just help the sponsor out by having a little thing with my bookie pick. Joe's a DraftKings, my bookie. He's all over that stuff. So, you know, I thought it'd be fun for him, and he enjoyed it at first, and now he's like, oh, my bookie. Every game day, I'm like, well, dude, get off the phone and go post my bookie. Anyway.
Look, basketball's different, man. Football, yeah, you were on the football. The lines like the week ahead.
We used to be able to talk about it on the show.
Right, yeah. Basketball is like the day before, and, you know, if you got something going on, it could slip your mind, a lot of times, you know? So.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Plus, I lost.
Right, that was your first loss.
Just looking good at halftime.
Yeah, you've looked good at halftime a bunch of times lately. So
yeah.
Anyway, I want to thank my bookie. I want to thank Tick Splits. I want to thank Armchair All Americans. I want to thank JP Mulligans. You know, every happy hour every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 trivia Tuesdays, and dollar off all of Bats products during Syracuse games. Syracuse is not in the Dome. Is not in the Dome Saturday. So go over to JP's, grab a beer, grab some wings, grab a burger, sit down, enjoy yourselves, and watch the game there. Shavintown Barbershop, thank you. And, of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks for participating in fan feedback. So we are going to take we're going to take the rest of the week off, and we'll be back. I guess we'll be back Sunday as the game is Saturday. So we'll be back normal time. And that is it for Joe. I am Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.